I appreciate those who join us in service, but those also who get involved with the special music, like tonight with our mixed trio, and those who are signing up for the Singspiration. Don't forget that list is still out there, correct? Yes. And so make sure that we sign up for those who have opportunity, like to minister in that area, and it is greatly appreciated. Good opportunity if you're not sure about singing on a Sunday or a bigger crowd or singing in church at all. That's a good night. It's a good night to sing for the first time. Good night to sing to get involved. But we appreciate you folks who are getting involved. All right, if you have your Bibles, just open. Well, I have your handout, so no text verse tonight, but just a thought, a faithful man. And again, with the aspect of not just being men, though I may be speaking mostly to the men, but I think everything that we speak tonight, ladies, don't let it go over your head and think it's just for the men, because these same attributes, these same qualities, these same things are also in need of our ladies and our churches. Not just our present, but also we see this through the Bible, the past, and we want to see it in the present, and we want to see it in the future. But the thought or the theme is a faithful man, a faithful man. Trust everybody has a handout. If you need one, just let me know. We'll make sure we have. We have any left, Miss Bridget? Any handouts? I think Brother Sam needs one. And where'd you put them? You got them with you? Okay, good. Anybody else? All right. You had them with you, right? That's it. That's all we have. Do we have more in the back? Okay. Anybody else? Brother Ed, go ahead and grab those. And Miss Bridget gave hers away. You don't have to do that. And then we'll make sure everybody has one. You can follow along, because it helps with the time, because I put down a lot of the passages of Scripture. And that way we don't have to turn to all of them, but have them printed there in front of you, give you an opportunity to make some notes. And I hope you are doing that. I throw in some blanks, so I'm making sure you're paying attention so you can fill them in. That way after church, if I say, hey, let me see your sheet for a moment, that way I can find out if you've been following along, been filling in the blanks. And then also help keep your attention, of course. I think Bridget needs one. And then also, I hope, and I'm leaving a little room on the margins, if you see some of my notes, and especially some of my preaching notes, I'm a little OCD, if you haven't learned that about me yet. I mean, I use one regular piece of paper, turned sideways, folded, and I print it like a book. And even though that I have everything nice and neat on here, 9 out of 10 times, I'm usually going over it. Even tonight, while our trio was singing, I had a thought and I scribbled it down on my notes. And whether it was something they sang or the Lord used it to remind me of something, or I'm sitting in the office before church and I'll add something to it. To that to go with it, but and I don't have a problem with that. And then my prop tonight, actually, I thought of after my Sunday afternoon nap over here, and I got up and went over my notes. I go, oh, I need a white towel. And so it's not perfectly white, but I think it'll observe and give the illustration that I want to give in our service a little bit later tonight. So if you have your handouts, and we'll be looking at several passages of Scripture. We'll start off with a few in Nehemiah in the book of Proverbs. And again, a faithful man. And we live in a time today, as I mentioned earlier, how important it is to have men and young men involved in ministry. And it's such a blessing to see that. We also need to make sure that we're cultivating that in younger men in our church. And as our church grows, getting more men involved, hooking them in, bringing them in, asking them, starting out with ushers, starting out with maybe helping in another area, but getting them involved little by little to see the importance of serving in the house of God. Folks, I tell you what, I mean this with all of my heart. It's an honor to serve in any capacity in this church, of any church. It's an honor to stand at the door and open the door and greet people when they come in as a doorkeeper. I mean, it's an honor. And I think we should take any opportunity we have in serving the Lord, whether it's singing the choir, singing special music, teaching class, being involved. Those are all things of a position that God needs and people are needed in their home, in the house of God in our service. And we should be ready to find a place to plug in or help out where we can. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin tonight. Father, bless our time together. Bless the reading of several passages of Scripture we'll read tonight as we start. I pray that you'd help us, encourage us, challenge us, Father, in many cases, even sometimes just to remind us of things that need to be brought back to the service. Father, we love you. Help us, each of us, to evaluate our hearts as men and women as we look in the thought of a faithful man tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 7, and we'll go through and talk a little bit about faith and faithfulness, and we'll share a few thoughts on that tonight. So Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 2, that I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I think that is important. So here's a couple of first couple of blanks. The word faith is found 247 times in the Word of God. Two times in the Old Testament, 245 times in the New Testament. The word faithful, breaking that down, first faith and now faithful, is found 80 times in the Word of God, 30 times in the Old Testament, and 50 times in the New Testament. You see, to be faithful, bear with me, to be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. The character of one who can be relied upon. Are we that kind of men, gentlemen? Ladies, church, are we that kind of adults and set an example? Am I reliable? Am I steadfast? Am I unwavering? Is my character of one that can be relied upon? For our boxing fans out there, when the old guy stands in the corner as his fighter's in the fight with a towel on his shoulders, why is it there? Who knows boxing? Why is that towel there? Yep, sometimes they throw it in. And when they do that, the fight is over. Because the trainer, the one in the corner, is watching out for the one doing the fighting. He's throwing in the towel because he says, my boxer's had enough, he can take no more. And dear friends, the trainer that we have, the Lord Jesus, he wouldn't have us to throw in the towel. He's there for us, to heal us, to pick us up, to help us, and to carry us through. And he's not going to send us out as sheep among the wolves. Whole different scenario. In fact, there's another one when they're at battle and somebody goes out because the battle is hot and you see this waving. What is this? No surrender in a faithful man. No surrender in a faithful woman. We're reliable, unwavering, dependable. Because, see, we don't rely upon man, a trainer, a coach of some time, but the Lord Jesus who is there in our corner. There's too much at stake in our Christian life to throw in the towel or the wave, the towel, or the hanky, the flag of surrender. We've got too many kids, grandkids, siblings, neighbors, those in the community watching our very life and our very testimony. I tell you something that will change your life. You're struggling and having a difficult time and wanting to be faithful, but just don't feel like I can do it anymore. Here's what will help you more than anything if the Lord will ever let it happen in your life. But I know of one situation where one particular Christian was about ready to throw in the towel, ready to give up. I just can't do it anymore. I don't know how you folks are doing. And I talked to him into coming to church one more Sunday. Let's go have lunch and let's talk about it. Well, he came to church. After the services, he said, Pastor, we don't need to have lunch. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Everything's great. Well, folks, my curiosity was up the rest of the day and that night. But come Monday morning, we met for breakfast. He said this, Pastor, I can't quit. I said, why? Well, you remember that visitor that was church Sunday morning? I said, yeah. Well, he's someone who I invited it over a year ago, who's watched me at work, has watched me in the community, finally showed up. He invited me to lunch after church, and he told me I'm here today because I've been watching your life. Wow. Wow. How much do we bring people in because of that or push people out because of that? Don't wave the flag of surrender. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up because we are faithful. We are reliable. We are steadfast. We are unwavering in our commitment unto the Lord Jesus. In fact, as we go on a little further in our outline here, the Bible speaks of this type of faithfulness in four different ways. First of all, it's an attribute of God. And are we not supposed to do our best to be Christ-like as Christians? Hey, God is faithful. There's no other way to describe him. And then we see also in the Word of God as a positive characteristic of some men, of some women. Let's be some of the some. Let's be those that are including in some that are reliable, that are steadfast, that are unwavering. It's an attribute of God. It's a positive characteristic of some men. And then thirdly, as a characteristic that many men lack. In the world that we live in today and the chaos that's going on, this younger generation, this world that we live in, they need some people that are faithful, that are reliable, that are dependable, that are unwavering, that are unchanging. And they do what they say they will do, and they stick with it. Our world needs to see that. And then fourthly, in reference, the Bible speaks of these type of faithfulness is not only an attribute of God, a positive characteristic of some men, a characteristic that many men lack, but also we see it as a gift of the Holy Spirit. That God gives us the ability to be that faithfulness, to be faithful, the one that's been called a man, a woman of faith. He gives us that power. He gives us that ability, but we also have to ask the Lord to give it and to help us. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. There it is. Our theme tonight, as we know, is a faithful man. Whether it be a faithful man or a faithful woman, a faithful individual, a faithful Christian, but a faithful man. Now, let me be honest with you. When I hear the phrase a faithful, if I was playing Jeopardy, I wouldn't say man. I wouldn't say woman. You know, think about it for me, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I do not think of man, I think of a holy God. When I think of faithfulness, I think of that goodness. I think of a holy God who has been faithful to me. Boy, that song, wasn't a beautiful song? He has been faithful, faithful, faithful to me. And dear friends, because he has been faithful to us, we should do all that we can to be faithful to him. Now, I can't stand that tall. I don't want to stand up in front of anybody. Hope I can get back down. If the bar is set here with our Lord, if not even higher than I can reach, we're not going to be able to meet it, I'm sure, but we should strive to. See, many people are offended by a lower standard, but fewer are offended by a higher standard. As long as we're not all high and haughty and look at me, but I mean it's true, the sincerity of having that standard in our life, the desire to life to live and serve for the Lord and to be faithful. See, I think that I need to be more like him and less like man. I need to be more like him and less like me. Isn't that convicting when we ask ourselves, when we look ourselves in the mirror, not comparing ourselves to another man, to another woman in the church, to another individual in the church, but comparing ourselves to him as we look to the Word of God? Folks, we might miss the mark, but that's not a reason to throw in the towel or wave the surrender flag. We're never going to be like him. We're never going to be perfect, but the aspect of doing all we can here below is to strive to be as much like Christ as we possibly can. A faithful man. When we fail, we get back up. When we get discouraged, we get back up. When we have a rough time, we get back up. Because see, in our description that we looked at in our outline about faithfulness, it says reliable. Can you fall down and get back up and still be reliable? Yeah, of course you can. Can you stumble a little bit and maybe slow down and not be at the pace you used to be and still be faithful? Well, of course you can. But we can't be unwavering. See, being unwavering causes us to pause or not want to get up unless somebody helps us. But whether we fall and get discouraged, whether we look for a hand up or just get up, either way, that's faithfulness. That's being faithful as we move forward and serving the Lord. Let's look at a few verses that describe faithfulness in our God. Several here, starting with Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All we have to do when we get into trouble is, okay, Lord, where's that exit door? Where's that, Lord? It's there. He makes it available, but do we look for the opportunity, Lord, help me out of this, Lord. I'm struggling. I'm getting pulled in. Lord, show me the exit door. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The exit not to quit. The exit is to run from sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will, what? Do it. do it. He calls you, he will do it. He will perform it. He'll work through you, that faithful one. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 1 John 1:9. If we are confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There again, he is faithful. Scripture speaks consistently of God's faithfulness. Over and over, we learn that when God says he will do something, he does it. He does it, even when it seems impossible. I believe we all could give testimony if we take the time and think through our life, whether we've experienced it ourselves, seen it within someone within our family, read it in a book or read it in a missionary letter, heard an illustration, but maybe more personal. You can honestly, if you think about it, there's probably been some times where you've wondered, wow, only God could have done that. Come on now, think about it. When's the last time that you left a house and got halfway out of the community, had to turn around and go back because your wife forgot something or you forgot something? Huh? Only to get up the road and see a horrible accident on the highway and thought, or did you even think, wow, had I been running on regular schedule, that might have been us. We might have been involved in that. And the list goes on and on, how God uses circumstances and situations. Now, I'm not going to try to tell you that the Lord hid Michelle's rings or the Lord hid the keys or the Lord hid this to keep you from being delayed. I don't need to explain it. I'm just thankful it worked out that way. I'm just going to trust a sovereign God for something I could not find that I did find. Brother Tony, you found something recently, didn't you? And you thought, how in the world did it get in there? That's God. He is faithful. There's no better way to describe him than he is faithful. When he says something will happen, it happens. And this is true for the past, the present, and the future. You can take it to the bank, as we say. If God says it, it's going to happen. If this was not the case in reference to his faithfulness, if God were unfaithful even once, he would not be God, and we could not rely upon any of his promises. But praise God, that is not the case. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 56. Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Not one failed one word of all of his good promises. You see, God is eternally reliable, steadfast, and unwavering because faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. Folks, there's a lot of ways we can try to explain God, but there's one thing we must never forget in trying to explain God, and that's faithfulness. Faithfulness. God does not have to work at being faithful, because he is faithful. Psalm 89 and verse number 8. Faithfulness, see, is an essential part of who the Lord is. He says in Psalm 89 and verse 8, our Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord likened to thee, or to thy faithfulness around about thee. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord likened to thee? Or into thy faithfulness round about thee. Again, the psalmist asks the question, because there is no other. Folks, he is the answer to every need, every prayer, every hurt, every bit of anxiety, fear, whatever may come our way. But he's also the result and the answer for every part of joy that we have in our life. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Boy, what a blessing to know that he never changes. In his faithfulness, God protects us from evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then notice in his faithfulness, he sets limits. He not only protects us from evil, he sets limits on our temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There have no temptation taken you but is common to man, But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with all temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But how often, when we're in a bind, how often when we find ourselves in a difficult situation, how often when we feel overwhelmed, how often when we're tempted by Satan, that we actually do look for that way of escape, knowing, I mean, really, if you think about it, it's good to start looking, because that shows, number one, you know God's faithful, and your faith in Him, He's going to provide a way. Okay, Lord, where is it? I got to get out of here. Exit, stage right, it may be. You know, whatever it may be, but get out of there. Get away from it. He provides. He protects us from evil. He even sets limits on our temptations. He always makes sure there's a way of escape. But then, again, according to 1 John 1:9, which we read earlier, He forgives us of our sin. Again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, written to the Christian, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, what a faithful God. Not only that, He's ready to forgive us, knowing already beforehand that we're going to sin. Already knowing that we're at times going to make a bad choice, but stands ready to forgive us and to restore us and to use us. He protects us. He sets limits, He forgives us, and then He sanctifies us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, I am so glad that we serve a faithful God. I am so glad that I have complete, full confidence in Him. Brother Little John came in tonight and said, "Preacher, did you see the sunset tonight?" I said, "No, I missed it." He said, "Boy, was it breathtaking." And just imagine, just for a moment, the sunrise and the sunset and all the beauty that we see still has no comparison to what we'll observe when we get to heaven. The faithfulness of the sun rising, the faithfulness of the sun setting, is just a small example of His faithfulness toward His children and toward His people. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you." Let's stop there just for a moment and break this verse down. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you. Dear friends, if God has begun the work in you, and I believe He has in every believer, it has a willingness and a desire to serve the Lord, God wants to do a work through us. And because He desires to do that, we need to remind ourselves of His faithfulness. What does He say here? "He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He will perform those works through us. Here's the only problem when God can't work through us is we hinder the Spirit of God. We don't want to get out of the way. We want to take the credit, or we just simply don't want to do it, or we want to give up, or we get discouraged, or, Lord willing, no one like that here tonight, but we've all met Christians that just flat out gotten mad and bitter with God. There, we'll stop real quick at the performing of it when we don't allow the Lord to work. Again tonight, a faithful man. Don't quit. Don't slow down. Well, we're getting older. Don't slow down too much. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't throw in the towel. And don't wave the flag of surrender. There's no sense in it, because He is still on the throne. See, faithfulness doesn't know how to give up. Faithfulness doesn't know how to give up. There's too many people that are relying upon us, those that we have not even met formally, or maybe don't feel like we have a great relationship, are still watching and observing. Now, this is a little Douglas theology, which that simply means it may not have a whole lot of truth, but it sounds real good, and it really could happen. It could. It could. You start shopping pretty regular. And as I just mentioned before, Michelle and I often like to, when we can, go through the same line with the same person working at the Walmart, at the Fry's, at the Costco, when we can. Sometimes they switch things so up, you can't always find the same person. But I'll look for them and try to develop a relationship, talk with them, invite them. But who knows where that will lead to? But can you imagine this scenario when you start meeting people like that? You start seeing people in the store, and you start talking to them, you strike up a conversation. You invite them to church, and then maybe they don't see you again for a while. They still have that invitation in their hand. They still have that invitation maybe in their locker, in their break room, where someone invited them to church. Maybe things are getting a little difficult. The Christmas season has come and they're thinking about Jesus and the songs and the Christmas carols or remember the places they used to go, things that they used to do, and they think, oh, where's that card? Where did I put that card? I thought it was in my locker somewhere, and they can't find it. They thought, well, maybe they'll come in the store again this week and talk to me and I can ask them. I don't know that it happens that way, but it could. That's why it's important that we establish friendships or show ourselves friendly in the world and have an opportunity. We don't have to be a part of the world, but we have to live in the world and take the opportunity to witness, to be friendly, to invite people to church. And you never know what that may lead to in the life of someone. Think about it for a moment. Some of us had the privilege of being brought to church as children because our family went. But yet there are some that came to the church and came to know the Lord because somebody invited them. Because somebody encouraged them. Somebody picked them up and rode the church with them. They got there as a preteen, a teenager, adult, or whatever the case was. They were invited and brought to church by someone else. Otherwise, they would have never had gone. There's all kind of folks out there, folks that need to be saved, folks that are away from the Lord, many that are thrown in the towel, many that have waved a flag of surrender of Christians. I believe today that I met someone who grew up in church, went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, involved in Awana programs, but somewhere along the way they threw in the towel and they waved the flag of surrender because they haven't been in church in years. But just maybe meeting a group of folks who were friendly, who were loving, enjoyed the company together. Even the phrase came up, do y'all all go to church together? That started a conversation that led to an invite, that led to wheels turning. And what can God do with that? He is faithful. And as we do our part and do our best to be faithful as much as we can with the Lord, don't throw in the towel. Don't wave the flag of surrender. And if you have, and just a shell is present, why not just pick up the towel, pick up the flag, put it away, and remind yourself, faithfulness doesn't know how to quit. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us, Father, the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, help us as believers, as a family of God, as a church family, to do all we can to encourage one another, do all we can to press on, to do all we can to be honest. Father, it's hard when you feel defeated. It's hard when you're ready to give up. I've been there. I've struggled. But Father, I'm so grateful to have had a pastor, a youth pastor, a friend or a family member to come alongside to encourage and to remind me who I was in Christ and why I can't give up. I've had someone to come by to give me a phone call, just to come alongside of me, encourage me to say, come back to church, get in church, stay in church, whatever the case may be, Father. I'm grateful for those who are there with me. And Father, help us to be the type of people that others may need to encourage them to stay in the fight, to stay with it, to keep serving, to keep being faithful, to keep being reliable and unwavering. Because our Lord, until he returns, still needs men and women to be found faithful. Father, help us, bless our church, help us to be what you would have us to be, and help us to be alert for the opportunities of loving and sharing and being a blessing to others. And we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If you can be a help, please do not hesitate.